research and my creative practice has been about exploring materials. And so I work with mild steel and with eggplant. So it's about looking at the contingent nature of the organic material as it forms in the dehydration process, and I can never be quite sure of how it's going to form. So I make.
Hang on, you're leaving us here. What's going on here? Have you got a real eggplant somewhere?
Yes, this is eggplant. So there's on the inside, that's mild steel, and I fabricated that structure. That's all cut out and soldered and welded. And then the eggplant, which is, it comes raw, and I hollowed out the inside and put the two together and dehydrated it all in one go.
So eggplant shrinking?
Yeah, it shrinks quite a lot, and the surface is quite leathery. I'm not sure if you're allowed to touch it, but probably not. I would love it if you could, because it's quite leathery and quite hollow, sort of tinny sounding. It's surprisingly strong.
Why don't you touch it and hear the sound of it?
But it's quite
like a drum.
Yeah.
You know, the natural material being stretched. Actually make the, it's kind of the reverse. Often you have a skeleton, something builds on it. You've made the skeleton and then stretch the eggplant over it.
Yeah.
And it's all, I'm genuinely interested in this, is it all eggplant or you're using other vegetables?
At the moment just eggplant. I think it's probably the most spontaneous, and it's because it's got the outer layer and the inside sort of fleshy part, and they're quite different, and they dry at different speeds, and so I think there's more unexpected things that can happen, so I suppose I've chosen that as the most challenging and the most interesting material.
You say some unexpected things could happen. Yeah. I imagine you might have the odd failure.
Yeah. I suppose so, but I think they're all part of the body of work, and it's nice to see different aspects of them, and some of the pieces that I suppose I would mostly consider failures are when they look quite harsh and when it pierces through the metal, but it's just showing something different, but I probably wouldn't exhibit that, but I think that informs how I try and do the next piece. I might do that in a softer version of it.
Just another question, will you always be limited to this small sculpture, or can you enter into a big sculpture prize at some stage?
I suppose I'm really interested. I've actually come from gold and silversmithing, so I've done a little bit of jewellery, which is not very much what I'm doing now, but I'm interested in the relation to the body, and I think this small scale is really conducive to holding and fitting in the hand, and you have to observe quite intimately the small details. And so I actually like the scale of it because it's very, it's associated to the hand. And the skin-like qualities of this can also be connected to the skin of your hand. So I've got lots of photographs of them together, and you can observe the wrinkles and, the change in the skin. I'm happy with the scale as well.
Okay. My next question, though, is when we sometimes think about sculpture, think about longevity and kind of permanence and bronze, and there it is, it's going to be there for 50 years, 100 years, 400 years. How do you deal with something which presumably a mouse might enjoy?
I suppose I don't really deal with it. I just keep it away in a box. But I think everyone's idea of, when you see the material, that's probably one of the first things that you wonder. And I think that kind of keeps people thinking, and I don't really want to don't want to coat it or preserve it, because I think that would put a surface on it which would be, it would distance you from the real material.
But I see you have a price on it, and I think it's a bargain. So you have a price on this of $500. So if someone was to buy a sculpture, they're usually thinking of a collection and how it will fit and how it might go in their house, and in some instances, how much it might be worth in the future and inherit whatever. So how would you deal, do you think you'd need to deal with that kind of issue in terms of making...
Possibly. I must say I've never sold a piece before. So I haven't had to. But I guess I'd be happy to continue a dialogue with a purchaser and possibly try and remake it, although things never are the same again.
But of course, artists are also often... worked with one surface and then miraculously and magically transferred it into another. You know, this could be cast, couldn't it? You know, once you've got a particular series, it could be cast. And in fact, I must say, when I first saw it, I thought it was cast. I thought, Miles Steele, how's this cast in Miles Steele?
Yeah.
So there are a couple of options.
Yeah. I think, though, that you can see that it's natural material. I think you can never quite get that the same again. If it was to be cast, it would be something else. Yeah.
Okay, any questions of Ruby? That's a really great insight. Yeah.
Now, I've got a name for this type of art, aubergines.
But, I mean, there's a history of permanent art, and there's a history of ephemeral art. Of course, the 1970s, 60s, certainly going to the 70s, you know, the aim was, kowtow to the galleries and consumer society, don't allow your work to be purchased, make it entirely ephemeral. Mm. A whole lot of contemporary artists, of course, were doing work which not only wasn't it to be permanent, in some instances it wasn't even to be documented. In fact, you would have all heard of Marina Rampart coming back to Australia just recently with the Caldor project, and I, in my art school days, did a project with her and some of our students, and when we were revisiting this just 2 months ago, I had a Super 8 reel of film from that period. She was desperate to steal it because she said in those days, you know, we were so determined that these were just objects and sort of they were just performances, never to be recorded, that she's now scrounging around for any documentation. That I guess the commercial dimension catches up with us in the long run. So thank you very much, Ruth.